Rhaegar put his hand on Jaime's shoulder. When this battle's done, I mean to call a council. Changes will be made. I meant to do it long ago, but, well, it does no good to speak of roads not taken. We shall talk when I return. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community. This is Season 10 of the White Book Podcast. To episode 397 of the White Book Podcast. And I'm Will. This is
I'm Bob.
Team what are we? Team Westeros, right?
Westeros, yes.
Yeah. We've got Bob. And subbing in, this is probably gonna be a real gem for us this week. A real gem to have Bob from the Gem City of the Midwest, or however that saying goes, along
the Gem
with,
of the Gem City.
There we go, the Gem of the Gem City, along with his rival, his nemesis, his teammate, Zach Price.
Heyo,
man, I was really expecting something a little bit. Yeah.
Well, wow. I'm saving it for the inevitable arguments that Bob and I are going to scream at each other like halfway through this, and so I'm just saving my energy for that.
That's a good idea. Fine.
I mean, it's pretty much going to be Zach will say something. I'll tell Zach that he's wrong. Zach will say, "I hate you, Bob." And then 15 seconds later, Zach will be like, "Oh, yeah, you were right, Bob." So
I would never admit you're right. Regardless of how factual it is.
Good to know. Okay, well, in that case, maybe we should hop over to the topic. The topic that I thought was actually a pretty neat little connection to the quote here. Changes that should have been made long ago, but have been finally made now. So we have a new restricted list.
Whee!
Yeah, there was much rejoicing. Yeah. Come on, guys.
I don't think Bob's ever happy. He won't ever rejoice.
Dude, I don't know. He sounded pretty excited about Centurions once we discovered what those were. For listeners that don't know what's going on.
My excitement on the inside.
Instead of actually recording this episode, we just spent probably the last half hour researching 80s toys, trying to find Bob's long-forgotten favorite 80s toy. So, mission accomplished, though. We found it.
It was found, and they're a lot more pricier than I wanted them to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I love how, like, on eBay, anyone could just put, like, vintage in front of something on the description and then be able to charge, like, a lot of money because it's vintage now.
Oh, shit. You think I could sell vintage dollar bills? Vintage 1986 dollar bill.
Apparently you can.
You just searched for it?
All right, I'm Googling this.
How much I'm are they Googling going this. Because if I can get more than what $1.50 back on those, then I'm just like making money, right? Like once I count mailing.
I mean, you got like right. the eBay taxes, PayPal, shipping.
Ah, shit, you're right. So I probably need to get over $2 to really turn a profit at it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well.
Shockingly, there's a lot of vintage dollar bills on Etsy.
I am confused in so many ways.
That seems very legit.
And due to that, I'm going to turn us back to the restricted list. Oh, seems wise, right? Okay. Tell you what, we've got a restricted list. It was put up on the 20th. And... let's see, there were a few updates to it, so I'm going to throw everybody off, and I'm going to go out of order here, because I'm going to start with the least impactful updates, and we'll work backwards from there. Sound reasonable? Like a good way to approach this?
Yeah,
I agree.
No one naysayed me, so we're going to do it anyway. So there were actually a couple questions added to the literal FAQ section here. Three questions, I suppose, which I don't think were huge surprises to anybody at this point. I think they had been pretty well talked about by a lot of folks in the community, so they're just being codified. So I'm going to read all three of these, and then... if you guys know of any cases this has really helped or clarified that I'm not thinking of, you let me know. So we've got,
okay.
First up, my opponent plays No Surprises, which states that I cannot bring cards out of Shadows. Can I still use the ability on Starfall Spy to put a card directly into play from Shadows? The answer says no. Any effect that causes a card to come out of Shadows is considered to be bringing a card out of Shadows, including effects like Starfall Spy that put a card into play from Shadows. Therefore, such effects are prevented by the effect of No Surprises. Anything that clarifies, or is it just face value, straightforward?
I mean, seems pretty straightforward. Yeah.
All right, that's what I was thinking. All right, next up. Can I use a Cask of Ale to move power to a plot card, a melee title, or an agenda? Answer, a Cask of Ale can move power to a player's revealed plot card or melee title, as each of those cards is considered to be in play under that player's control. A Cask of Ale cannot move power to an agenda, as agendas are not in play. I know a lot of folks are super not happy with this sort of thing being possible, but we've known this since the Bear Box came out, right? Pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't think it was maybe like the original intention was for that to happen that way. Agree. And then they just said, well, I'll forget it, because it's a card in play. It's just us like wording things poorly.
Yeah.
But to know that it really hasn't like been that effective, I don't think people... I've actually forgot all about this card, to be honest with you.
Blowing a card to delayed discard two power, like a reverse superior claim, is just not really a big effect, right?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Cancer Lancer was a thing when it came out.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they had somewhat enough helping.
I felt like that deck always had like enough to delay the opponent. It just had to make sure it had like more than you in like an hour. So I don't know, like, it probably still would play this, but I don't think it's like needed. It's like, okay, yeah, as long as I have 4 power and you have 2 power after an hour, like, I win. So
mod wins all the way to the top, baby.
Yeah, fun times.
Yep.
God, that sucks.
Well, now it doesn't really even matter that much. Everything's like X2, so mod wins are not bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole different topic, but oh well. That's a tourney setup topic, which maybe we can tackle in another episode.
All right.
But yeah, that is another reason that I personally actually find the graduated cuts a little silly. But anyway, so last question that we have here is, if my opponent has Baylor Blacktide in play and I play Emissary of the Hightower, choosing an event of which I have a single copy in my discard pile, will Baylor's ability prevent me from playing that event? The answer, no, Baylor Blacktide's ability will not prevent you from playing an event from your discard pile if there are no other copies of that event in your discard pile. So this was the only one of the three that I feel like I had kind of consistently still seen people question, like basically whether the emissary is making you count that card as if it was in your hand and the copy in your discard pile, since Baylor stops you from playing the ones that are already have another copy in your discard pile. So it was kind of a weird thing. So I'm at least glad to see this one codified.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where some people could question that one out of the other two questions that are on here. The fact that Emissary, you know, essentially is taking it out of the discard pile, though, to play it. Even if it's not technically going to your hand, like, she still is taking it out of the discard pile to play it, though. So,
all right. Well, I guess we are on to the restricted list. There's two of these. Though, if you only read the FFG release article, you could probably be forgiven for forgetting that the first of these we're going to talk about exists, because as much as I love those release articles and seeing some reasoning about, you know, what's being done and why, it also really bums me out to see an update made to the Melee restricted list and for that to not be mentioned at all in the FAQ article. So that's kind of weird. But we got two additions to the Melee list. We got Winner You Die and Drowned Disciple. I'll let you guys weigh in before I say my name. Zach, you haven't said
I mean,
much.
I can go. I'll go first because I don't play Melee.
Bob's will be
yeah, I don't play Melee. Apparently, I just build Melee decks that are semi-successful.
Semi-successful? Winner or Die makes sense. Two at the final table and the winner.
I don't want to brag, Will. There's so many people that listen to this podcast. I don't want that to get out.
I don't want to brag, but you're definitely the brain.
I mean, we'll have so many DMs in my Facebook Messenger wanting my expertise in Melee builds. I mean, yeah, initially looking at it, I mean, you win or die. It just makes sense. I mean, you get two cards and you probably get to win initiative unless there's some snowed under weird stuff going on. And it's two claim. So, I mean, that seems good. And Drowned Disciple, like we talked about a little bit earlier, I just don't think Drown God really works in Melee with three opponents. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't stop the build that I created for Melee. So I could keep on rolling out some Baratheon stuff, so that's fine.
It doesn't touch it at all. I'll let Zach say his bit because I said I would do that, but go ahead before I start talking about
So restricting, like, so they restrict one card in the Drowned God deck, but I mean, there's not another card that's in it that's restricted. So it's like it literally does absolutely nothing to arguably a tier two melee deck. I just don't get why it needed to be restricted, and then also just not even remotely touching Baratheon's new cards.
Yeah, man, that's part of what I'm thinking about, starting with the Drowned God. Like you said, it's like a tier two melee deck. I'm not aware of anywhere it's just run rampant. This doesn't really affect it at all. And cards that actually, like, aside from the play stuff, like Bob was saying, where folks can gang up on somebody like that and kind of overwhelm their stuff, but also tech cards that actually like can hurt Drowned God that don't see play in Joust, or not as much play, see tons of play in Melee. Like Fury and the Stormlands Fiefdoms and Carhold and Edmure, and I'm probably forgetting something in another house that, like, interacts with the power on those characters. Like, it's not a semi-safe place for it to be. Like, people can find ways to get through that. It boggles my mind. Boggles it.
Yeah. I still think the egregious outlier is, like, no Baratheon cards exist on this list. And Eddard Stark, the Wolves of the North Eddard Stark, is restricted. And so Danny's already made a history of restricting cards prior to release for, like, Mission of Dorne. And there was another one he did. So why wasn't the new Fat Bob restricted immediately? Because he's literally the same as Eddard Stark, if not slightly better.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just confused what the thought process was for Melee.
He's up against the other two Bobs for consideration in Melee. But I guess some people might want poor Eddard too, so there's some consideration there. I'm actually thinking even more maybe than new Bob, though I would definitely consider it. I am mystified that, like, Stormlands is not on here. Like, when I look at things, like, that is probably the number two card I think should be restricted. But, and the number one card was not on here either. But as far as Barra cards go, Stormlands is my first thought. I'm so surprised.
Yeah, most of the cards on here essentially say gain power or stand, and there's so much of that in Baratheon that is left untouched. And all they've done is just guaranteed Baratheon's going to be the top, 16 decks in every Melee tournament ever now.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be heavily represented, let's say, heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see you win or you die just based on ubiquity, right? Like, it's in a lot of decks. It was, I think, not in the deck I played at Nationals, bizarrely enough. And I'm assuming Kyle did not make that change either to add it. But I'm incredibly mystified that my number one choice that I think should be on here didn't get added based on ubiquity, even though, minor spoiler alert, it got added in Joust. I can't believe Force March did not get added to the list. Cannot believe it.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Danny, with Melee, I swear he's just, the restricted list is entirely arbitrary. And that's like the Drowned Disciple being restricted, like, just leads into that. Because there's no point in restricting a single card from a deck that has no other restricted. Like, if he was going to restrict Drowned Gods, he would have done that and, like, Tarl or something. Just, Melee is just such an afterthought for this restricted list, and more so because it was never even mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. And it, which makes it, it's just weird on so many levels. Like, it wasn't mentioned, so I kind of just expected it to be completely ignored and shuffled under the rug, which, like, is its own kind of slight that I wouldn't be happy about, but, like, that's at least kind of consistent. So then it's so weird for it to be ignored, but then for cards to be added, but for them to be like honestly kind of the wrong cards, it's it's very, very weird. I doubt we'll see another restricted list update before Worlds, but I would personally not mind beating down the doors, so to speak, at FFG to offer them some thoughts on a more refined Melee list before Worlds, let's say.
I just don't think there's another big Melee tournament to warrant that.
Stalic? I mean, after Worlds?
Do they honestly care about Fan? Yeah, well, no, before that, like, does FFG honestly care about what happens to Stalic?
I mean, I'm sure they track it as far as they do anything for, like, oh, you know, 90% of the field was decked.
Well, it's not
Y or whatever, you know.
Because it used to be their nationals, correct? So now it's not. So, like, at what point do they even care about? Oh, sorry, Continentals. So it's just like, are they even gonna like care about it whenever the events happen?
I mean, unless something very unexpected happens, it will probably still be the largest single tournament in the world. So I think it would be crime for them to not pay some kind of attention to the results. So I don't know. We'll see. Bob's just biding his time, waiting on us to get to the real meat and potatoes of the episode.
So tired of Melee.
He said his three sentences. He's ready for the next one.
I mean, I feel like I know what my contribution is to Melee, and that's just to build a deck and then not even play it and just go off of. I think this will work.
Not even play it. Ouch.
I hate you, Bob.
I think it will work.
Well, I guess we'll have to start brainstorming on the next one. All right, so how...
The Baratheon house card.
Yeah, that's it. Just the house card. 60 copies of it, though. Okay, so the Joust restricted list. This one is the doozy. So there's several more cards here. What would you guys, as my co-hosts talking about this, prefer? Would you rather me read all of the updates, and then we just talk about them kind of en masse as we see fit? Or would you like to go line by line through the updates?
I mean, it probably has to have some type of organization to it. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll just probably, like, rant on about, like, a lot of different things.
Sure.
Maybe we just, like, kind of go down the list. Like, we could talk about the neutrals and go to, like, each faction.
Yeah, that sounds good. We probably, at bare minimum,
and I'll try to factions not
together. Since a couple factions had multiple things done to them. So, okay, let's start with the items that were added. Spoiler alert, something was removed, but I think that item makes way more sense when we get to that appropriate house. So let's start with items added in neutral. So we got Great Hall and ding 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 Forced March added. So what do you guys think? Were these deserved? Did we finally need these to end the long oppression of income availability and marginally slowing down other decks for a turn, but with really, really good initiative?
I mean, my initial thought was, I know co-host Aaron Glazer, you know, always talked about this Great Hall needing to be restricted, and I was like, no, I don't think so. But the fact that since this restricted list has hit, like, my mind is just, like, going all over the place now with, like, what am I doing for economy? Which I think is a good thing, that you can't just auto-include three Great Halls into most decks right now. It's all, like, do I want to play the Great Halls over, you know, other really busted cards? Because I do get, like, three of them, and it will probably help out the long term of the game, of my game. and getting that econ and with at the gates, you know, just starting a game off with a great haul and then being able to, you know, set up, you know, economy and probably marshal another economy. For the most part, you're always set for the rest of the game. I mean, because very limited on, you know, what your opponent can do, because they're probably doing the exact same thing you're doing. And now it's a race to see who gets out the better characters first. And, you know, of the top 20, 25 cards, who has the most, you know, bombs. So, yeah, I think Great Hall, as much as I didn't want it at first, and I do think it would have been just, you know, great as a unique card. I think having Great Hall being unique to begin with when it was created would have been much better. Having it restricted, I think, is good for the meta right now. And of course, Force March, just everyone played it, and a lot of people played two of it, so get rid of it. I mean, decent gold at four. The nine initiative is just crazy, and that ability, whether like any faction can use it. So I'm glad that both the cards are actually restricted right now.
Ooh, interesting. I was not sure I was going to hear a affirmative on both of those from you. Zach, are you that positive?
I know. It was just like, I actually have to think about economy now.
Yeah. I tend to lean towards restricting very ubiquitously used cards. I mean, this is Great Hall and Force March. Like, if it's at a point where you're just absentmindedly adding it to whatever deck you build, I think it needs to be restricted with like some notable exceptions, like Rose Roads and things like that.
I mean, there's a ton of stuff like that, like Rose Roads. Like, what's the like real difference there between the Rose Road and Great Hall?
The difference was like turn three when an opponent has like two to three Great Halls out. Plus other economy, and now they're just turning them sideways and are putting out two big characters a turn. Rose Road can't do that.
So I think there's a difference between being an auto-include and being an auto-include because it's ubiquitously good. Because, I mean, I auto-include reducers in all of my decks. That doesn't make them ubiquitously good. Just means I need some claim soak, but in a Greyjoy deck, I auto, like, you know, spoilers to when that list gets on there, there was, you know, three characters that were in every single deck, and so the restricted list reflected that, and that helps out. And so it's just, I like to be more heavy-handed with the restricted list. I think more should have been added, but I like where it's at right now, and these two cards being on there, I don't think they're on there because they're broken. I think they're on there solely because the use could be in every single house, and you run three Great Halls and two Force Marches in most decks.
Two Force Marches in most decks, I think, sounds pretty extreme. But it is played in a lot of places, and I think we're kind of dancing around the idea here that was floated that these hurt Greyjoy, the former, and possibly still, top dog the most, and maybe to a lesser extent Stark behind them.
See, like, I don't know if like they like hurt Greyjoy as much like these two cards. I think these were just like extras. So like Greyjoy is like really good, and they have like a bunch of like these just extra busted cards that you don't need for your win. They just like really just I don't have anything else to play. I'm like, I got six plots, and I'll just play Force March because it has a nine initiative and I can bow out some stuff so my attacks go through easier.
Ooh, someone's been playing some Elf Far.
So I don't know if these is that what it is? Attack?
You were talking about bowing stuff.
I've never played the LCG of L5R. Oh, bowing. Okay. Yeah. Never played the LCG. Okay. I was a CCG guy. So
yeah.
But yeah, I like these two will slow them down like a smidge, like just these two cards right now that we're talking about. But there's other economy. One, I mean, Greyjoy is still super fast, whether it's like Rush and they're mid range. So, I mean, King's Roads are always, you know, not a wonderful option because you want to make sure that you're finishing the game, you know, in three turns. Otherwise, that economy is going to start hurting. But, I mean, they have that at their disposal. I mean, fealty as well. I mean, they can always use that for economy if they really need to. Or really just, instead of playing four big drops, they could just go down to three big drops, and I think they'll be okay.
Gasp.
Shock and awe. All right. Well, what about, okay, what about the actual Game Boy cards then? Let's head this direction, because I'm sure that this is near and dear to Bob's heart. We've got Drowned Disciple, You're on Prozai, and We Take Westeros. So we've got, one Drowned God card here, which relates to another out-of-house card that was restricted to try and help rein them in, and then two just general good stuff ones. And I'm going to go ahead and float out here that the two general good stuff ones they picked were the two that just shouldn't have seen play print, like, should never have been printed the way they are, right? Like, the efficiency level, just from a like pure numbers perspective on these, is way above anything else. Man, when I saw the previews for We Take Westeros, and I saw that it was like a 5-9-1 with this absurd ability to just take a location, either, you know, like from your opponent, so you've got it for the rest of the game and you're, you know, depleting them of a wall or whatever, or just to even get back your own iron mines or what have you. I looked at that and thought, holy crap! You know, compare this to the King's Peace or, geez, what's the name of either the Lannister ones or something like that. This is like orders of magnitude better than the House Only plots for every other house. Like, this is insane. And you're on Crow's Eye getting you, for a 6 gold investment, getting you 10 golds worth of cards, plus like Tricon and favorable keyword and all this stuff. It's another one that's just like, I don't know of any other house where, I mean, I guess I get in Lannister with the Hound, I guess I'm getting like 5 or 6 golds worth of character for 3 or 4 gold, depending on if I marshal it or ambush it. But like, I don't get that anywhere else, right? He's also not getting me a card the way this is effectively drawing me. Well, drawing. It's thinning the deck by searching one. So, like, I don't know. I am very okay with these, and borderline think there should have still been something else added.
Yeah, so with, like, Euron Crozai, I don't know if they, like, went to a point where, in my opinion, the core Euron Crozai is just looking at a card and what all that card does could be like the best card or best character in the game. Like, when you think of a Tricon with Pillage Renown and could steal like locations, like, just in a whole, if I was looking at all the characters in the game, I'm like, wow, that guy has a lot going on. And so I don't know if they were thinking, okay, Euron Crozai has to be a little bit different from the King of the Isles to make it like different but good, you know, to make people want to play him. And I'll admit it, like, I didn't think I would want to play him, and then I played him once and I'm like, I don't know if I could go back to core Euron, like, ever. It was an initial thought process. And I, even now, like, I do agree that Greyjoy probably needed 2 more cards added to the list. I would have definitely added a warship. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but having raiding longship or like the Grey Ghost added does hurt a little bit, just because those are just 2 very good warships that definitely can get that unopposed through very easily, especially with like the Prince decks and things like that, where they're winning by 5. Having one of those warships would have been nice. And even as much as it pains me to say it, I probably would have put Big Vic.
Yes, on that there. That was going to be my choice. Because I'd want choice to
probably separate. Because Euron, Crozai, and Vic just have so much crazy synergy right now.
Yeah.
And with you add an Alanis, like, you'd probably like want to separate that, because the synergy is like right there. It's like anyone can play this still. Yeah. Like, okay, you're on. He's going to go get me my ship. I'm going to put out my ship. And then I'm going to kneel my ship, you know, to stand my Vic. So, and that's where I don't know if Greyjoy, I mean, clearly they got hurt. Like, as a faction as whole, like a whole faction, they got hurt a lot because they did just lose a whole entire deck, you know, archetype.
Well, and I don't think it's unplayable.
So they just lost a deck.
But it got, it definitely got damaged.
You're never going to win.
Close.
You're not going to win. So, like, in the last, was that, was the last restricted list was, like, in June?
Oh, does
no. that sound right?
I thought it was...
Is that, like, when they restricted,
oh,
like,
Sea no, Blood? That was before that, wasn't it?
Was that?
I should have had
maybe a, not.
Another window
essentially,
open,
like, in the last
check,
few months?
I feel like it was right before the Baratheon box dropped, wasn't it?
I feel like it took a while because the Greyjoy box was out in like late December, early January. And I feel like I remember people saying like Greyjoy is like on top for like 6 months because of Sea of Blood.
Well, I mean, when did.
Yeah. But regardless when it was, I felt like it was in June, but it could have been earlier. Like, so they've had two decks now completely just like taken away from them, like Sea of Blood and the Drowned God deck.
Okay, it was June
3rd,
by
the way. Whole,
so, early June.
June 3rd. Man, I hate being right. But but essentially, like they did just have like two decks taken away from them. So, like a faction at whole, I think they're hurting because now they really just are back to that whole mid-range rush, whatever you want to call it, kind of crossing type things, if you want to do that. So, crossing Prince. I mean, they can kind of be considered...
Prince was not too far behind anyway, right? Or crossing, depending on your flavor.
Yeah, and I think this is what the... Really, I think what the list does for Greyjoy is maybe like a few months ago, I said Drowned God Fanatic would always be my restricted card. Like, no matter what, there's no way you're going to get me not to play this. Now seeing Euron, Crow's Eye, and Great Hall on the list, I mean, I'm really... you know, second guessing that. Like, I honestly feel like out of those three would be the three cards that you'll choose from. Just because, you know, We Take Westeros is just like, why do I even get this card? So I just gotta live without it. You know, Iron Mines, not really an option. We just got Meister Kerwin, so he does the same thing. Like if I had to like break it down, I'd probably say 50% is probably still gonna go with Euron, Crow's Eye. Just out of the efficiency, and then probably 25% Great Hall, 25% Drowned God Fanatic. I do still think the Prince decks probably needs Great Hall because they want to keep on playing, you know, whoever their Prince is, and that economy is probably important for them to do that.
Zach, what you thinking? We've rambled on so much here.
Yeah, I mean. Well, so in testing, when Great Hall was restricted, my first thought was like, well, who the hell is going to use Great Hall now? Like, that just seems pointless to use my restriction on an econ. And I started building my old Greyjoy decks, and the more I look at it, it's like, honestly, Great Hall is a pretty big hit to Greyjoy. Like, it's, as Bob said, I mean, once you get, like, you know, at the gates and then you marshal another one, like, that's a significant amount of money when you're paying, or when you're playing 3 to 4, 6 to 7 cost characters. And the Euron Crow's Eye hit was pretty big as well. I think ultimately these cards that were added were necessary to add, although I agree with both of you that more should have been added. Maybe another big, like, Big Vic probably should have been on here. He kind of falls into the line of just good for good sakes, and his efficiency is just through the roof. I mean, you pay $2 for a ship that gives you money and initiative and stands a 7 cost character. Seems pretty good. Probably should have been considered to be thrown on there. And then the Drowned God deck, I agree, is probably died once we get to the next restricted card. Ironically, I don't see it coming back from this. It may win, you know, a game or two, but I don't see it taking 6 to 7 rounds and winning a tournament.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yeah, and just like one other thing, like on Great Hall, just to kind of throw it out there. I know like a lot of people were kind of speaking of like the economy hit, but I don't know if even a lot of factions even run Great Hall that often. You know, like when you think about it, aside from the fact faction that probably got hit the hardest in all this, which is Stark. But like really like Night's Watch, Martell, Tyrell doing a lot of more shadow stuff, with Lannister doing a lot more shadow stuff. Even Baratheon, most of their great characters are five drop and lower. So, I mean, having Great Hall on that list, I don't know if it really hurts a lot of factions as much as probably Greyjoy, just like in general.
I mean, I think it hurts Baratheon now with the box coming out. I mean, especially with the box and Long May He Reign. I mean, there's a lot of really good 6 to 7 costs. I mean, you're going to run 7 cost Stannis most of the time. You're going to run either Fast Bob or Core Bob. I don't think Neil Bob should go in a deck. I personally don't think he's very good. And then Renly, I think, just fits in pretty much, well, not Baratheon decks, but like I think he kind of fits as a banner, because Banner Stag's getting real popular with the amount of rush and just, you know, utilities that they have to offer.
Yeah, I think Great Hall is probably going to be more than likely the Baratheon restricted card, because they don't have anything else besides the trade route. But like really just like when I think about Great Hall, it's like, man, not a lot of factions like really played it effectively and efficiently as Greyjoy did. Yeah.
I mean, Tyrell to some extent.
But if I feel like they're rush, but all shadows so now.
Better. I mean, it probably is now.
So, yeah, that's my little spiel on Great Hall. I'll miss it, and I'll probably still play
Although
it.
Although Bob didn't want me to do this, Tyrell Mill could also use Great Halls.
I don't even know what a Tyrell Mill deck would even look like.
I told you I'd bring it in.
I mean, it's fun. I'll say that. It is definitely.
I do think in
deck.
General.
You told me this.
I think what it's going to do to that Greyjoy faction, though, is I don't think a lot of like random people or just someone just saying, I want to win a tournament, so I'm going to play Greyjoy. I do think that's going to lower the attendance of Greyjoy, having so many cards on a restricted list. So, you know, when they were at 30-35% of a field of like the 80 plus tournament, they're probably going to get back down to like 15%. I do think the attendance will probably drop in half until someone, you know, brings out the Greyjoy deck that's like, oh, you can win without all these stuff, all these great cards, and then they start playing them again.
Yeah, it definitely went back to high skill, high reward now. It's not just like play a bunch of big dudes. I mean, it still kind of is play a bunch of big dudes, turn them sideways, but now there's definitely more deck building choices rather than playing anything that costs $6 and $7.
Okay, well, what about we also throw in a little bit, because I feel like we kind of danced around the next house a little bit here in the Greyjoy discussion due to Drown God. So why don't we go ahead and loop in the fact that Desert Raider was added for Martell? And I think that opens up a little bit more discussion there on that. And you know what else opened up? Oh, Martell's restricted slots, because they got, only the second card ever removed. We had Dorn removed.
Enhanced Judgment was the first one, right?
Hell yeah. They're basically just as good as each other.
Yeah. No, I guess that would be, three removed then? Because Lannister also got that event removed.
Hear Me Roar. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hear Me
Roar. Hear Me
Roar. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I actually kind of wish, because I feel like the first edition FAQ had a running total that, like, they never cleared out, that listed what cards were removed and what date they were removed, rather than just the most recent one. I wish this had that. That would be handy, just in case.
but oh
well. I think this was just a simple, hey, we're going to have to restrict Desert Raider, so we have to give Martell a card back, because it's not because of Martell's fault that we're restricting Desert Raider. So it was a choice between Wars to Come and Dorne, and they probably chose the right one with Dorne. But I don't think it's going to help.
I agree, go with the loyal option. So. No, I mean, I don't think it's a huge hit to Martell whatsoever. I mean, they have so much icon removal that the Desert Raider is good, and it honestly still might be a restricted card for them since Dorne fell off, but...
Over Theodon?
This just hits Greyjoy still. This does nothing to Martell. Well, I mean... It depends. I mean, if you're doing like, I was Wars to Crumb might do, or not Wars to Crumb. This restricted. Like, I don't know. I don't play enough Martell. Honestly, I may be stupid. That's probably what I am.
No one plays Martell if they want to win games.
That's also why I don't play Martell. I just, if I'm playing it, I'm just, my personal opinion is just run Wars to Come and then Dorne's game. I don't like Martell Shadows or any other Martell deck.
Well, Martell Shadows just isn't as good as the other Shadow archetypes. And Martell Wars was really good a year ago, as was Martell Wolf. And then there was a reason why most of those cards got restricted out of those decks. Yep. So. So now they have nothing. Well, they have Dorne back.
Yeah. So does
but
that...
But Martell's probably... They still have Secret Schemes. They're probably playing Return to the Fields. Maybe one or two of. So, I mean, they have Greenblood Traders. So it's not like they don't have any type of card draw. I mean, Dorne can still get six a turn, you know, and get the right stuff. But I don't think it's going to get the right stuff.
Yeah, the filter, I think, is...
I don't know if they have 60 cards.
You don't think some version of Martell Wars can come back?
I think a Martell Wars deck with Dorne's game can win a tournament like a prime. So like maybe 18 and under as an attendance, I could see it winning. I don't think it's going to do anything major, like nothing at... In a European tournament when they have like 60 people for their primes, probably compared to United States having 12. But yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any other Martell thoughts, or do we move on to the next house of note?
Nothing. I wish I had more
next
to say
house
on those
of
guys.
Note it is. All right, how about Stark then? We had Skagos and Mira Reed added to the restricted list. I just want to say this is a new favorite of mine to have a location that I underrated added to the restricted list yet again. Sweet! Skagos is definitely my Gaston Grey of second edition for the handful of first ed players still listening.
I think
Stark need this?
They needed one. Skagos was definitely the one.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you want to play Stark right now. I mean, it felt like this was supposed to target Greyjoy, in which they did get a lot of cards target them. But the only thing I could think of was maybe they were thinking Stark would see an uptick with Greyjoy hurt so bad. And so they had to choose two guards. But honestly, I think Skagos would have been plenty. Like, I feel bad for Stark players right now.
Yeah, this screwed Stark over. This hit so hard to them. It's just... I don't think it needed to happen whatsoever. Skago should have been on there for sure, but Mira adding on as well. It doesn't devastate, but it hurts significantly Stark. Because I mean, I still think you choose Wyman over the four, but it's you're missing a lot now in a Stark deck.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to worry about negative attachments right now. They never had to use to worry about negative attachments.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of just picking, like, one strong sort of theme and direction for their deck, right? Like, depending on which one of these they go with.
They give Stark the sacrifice theme, and then they're like, oh, shit, the sacrifice theme is really good. We should take this back now.
Well, not the theme as a whole. It's just that these particular cards were a little undercosted, I think, for what they do.
I mean, I agree, but I think Sacrifice needed to have an upside. Because as of now, like, the only upside cards are, like, as hard as Winter, and who the hell is going to play that card? Like, there's very little upside to Sacrifice now besides Wyman. I mean, yeah, you're right, but I mean, you can trigger him off of like Military Claim or whatever, or just prevent your opponent from doing military.
They have Ramsey Snow. They have the new Shadow guy that comes out of Shadow.
Sacrifice. It's not that, but like, what are you getting from it if you're not running
decent outlets? I mean, they have Jon Snow. He like sacrifices something, doesn't he?
He sacrifices a Stark card to stand a unique Stark card.
Outlet. Boom.
It costs five. It's not worth it. Just run Northern Armory.
Yeah, like, when you look at it and you say, hey, Stark, you cannot play Great Hall, Force March, Skagos, and Mirror Reed now.
Yeah, this like, man, sucks
this,
for them.
This restriction list was targeting them. Like,
what?
It wasn't targeting Greyjoy at all.
Yeah, this hit Stark real hard.
Yeah. I think just Skagos would have been fine if anything needed to be done. I mean, and they were still kind of the second place house for compared to Greyjoy. So if nothing had been done, I think they would have been very well positioned without allowing, you know, those lower houses to have more breathing room.
But I feel like Stark needed Mira Reed. I think, like, yeah, she's very good. Like, extremely good. Probably a top card printed. But I think they needed that kind of nightmares effect a little bit. I don't know if they have much else in the way of, like, canceling or, you know, blinking something. You know, where Greyjoy has you know, Vince, and Baratheon has the privileged position, and there's treacheries, and there's, you know, he calls it thinking, and someone always tells. So all these factions have some way to kind of at least mess with the opponent a little bit, and Stark's way was like Mirror Reed. Granted, it was like in a busted way where it could just keep on happening a lot because of Skagos, and they gained benefits from all this, but I felt like they still needed that blank effect.
Well, I mean, they have cancels like Bran and Rickon, but there's just no upside to using the cancels because it goes back to the sacrifice. I mean,
you cancel like, stuff.
Like, you pay
seems like extra. An upside.
I mean, sure, but like, it is and it isn't. I mean, like, it's in a form of a character. I mean, I personally would prefer an event over a character that cancels a thing just because it's more hidden information and my opponent doesn't know it exists and you can easily play around open information. Like I just think this hits super hard and Stark's gonna fall pretty deep into the lower tiers.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like they're the worst faction, but they probably but they dropped the most. They probably went from like the second faction to like maybe, I don't know, sixth or seventh. I mean, I think the fall was hard.
Okay, well, on to our final house with an update then. That last one is Tyrell, that had growing ambition added.
Whee.
I mean,
so no more combo.
Yeah, well, that Sandy's no more that combo anyway. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really surprise me, right? I think almost anybody that's familiar with card games in a fairly general sense looked at this card and went, "Oh, well, this was printed for a combo as an enabler, and like, this will suck until someone breaks it, and then it will be broken and have to be banned or restricted or something. And lo and behold, that's what happened.
It's so, not like this has happened three times happens. Now, Will.
Yeah. It's so weird, because this is another one of those cards that just reads so Magic the Gathering-ish to me. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't mind, honestly. I enjoy stealing some mechanics from Magic, but this type of stuff just you can't really do, like, strong combo. Like, I enjoy combo-y sort of decks and stuff, but, like, you have to watch that very carefully in Thrones, because they're single game matches, like, best of one, and then on to the next
round.
Yeah,
no sideboard.
Yeah, there's no sideboard to allow people to, like, in-game tech to try and break those, and most combos wind up being so specific to what that particular one wants to do that, like, you need specific answers to that situation, which, you know, necessitates a sideboard. Like, it just doesn't function the same way in Thrones, so I'm not going to miss this.
Did you guys forget about Rookery?
About what?
I have what?
Rookery?
I want you to ask.
Isn't that like a piece, like, on a chessboard?
I want you to look back a few weeks, think real hard to yourself, and ask, did U.S. Nationals have a Rookery event this year?
It did in my heart.
And then ask yourself, how many people came to the U.S. Nationals Rookery event last year?
I'm going to guess less than four.
It was more than four. If I remember correctly, I'm not searching for it right now, but I believe it was eight, if I remember correctly.
I mean, I don't remember much about it, but I thought that the person that won didn't even use the Rookery and just played a Joust deck.
I think maybe two people played Rookery decks. I was one of them. I wound up swapping, I think, maybe two cards the whole tournament and came in last place. So take that how you I also tried to play Lannister.
But
so
there was a sideboard.
There was.
My big complaint about the Tyrell restricted list is Mace Tyrell is still on there.
Yeah.
And that pains me to no extent.
I really wanted Mace or Hightower off. You know, I don't want both and Flea Bottom and Trade Routes, blah, blah, blah. I don't want that whole thing together. But to...
Oh, yeah, either one or the other.
Yeah, to just lessen that, just dial it back up just a little bit, which, you know, I think with Dorn coming off, I think there's some precedent there that something like Hightower could also come off. And if you just let up on that a little bit, then you can have something that plays in more of a combo-y style that isn't, like, busted in Thrones.
Yeah, it's not an OTK. I mean, it'll take you a turn or, like, or a couple turns at least.
Yeah, I mean, without being able to add in some of that extra stuff, I don't think it would be, like, a two-turn kill, even, so to speak. I think it would probably be somewhere in the range of three,
like,
but
I think maybe they were looking at this, like, the Tyrell Shadows build that I've played against and seen is really good. Like, so Tyrell, granted, they lost a deck that never won anything, but could have won a lot, you know, in that combo deck with Renly and everything. I don't think it really ever won a tournament, but it could get up, you know, up to 15 powers. I mean, if I'm wrong and Sandy has won something, feel free to DM me with all those melee lists that people will be asking for.
3 o'clock. Tie that one back in.
But I think Tyrell still has, like, a close, if not tier one deck. So I think maybe that was some of the thought with not letting go of Mason Hightower. However, with Martell, giving them Dorn, they still have nothing. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, with the fact that Tyrell does have a really good deck, so let's leave it alone right now. I do think Mace and or Hightower would probably benefit the Shadow build right now. So maybe that was the thinking process behind
maybe
it.
Maybe just Mace.
Also, Mace is untested in a Shadows deck.
Well, yeah, largely. I mean, unless there's some folks I'm unaware of just testing it as a hypothetical right now.
Yeah, maybe prior to Worlds. In a Shadows deck could be good.
I mean, he's still really expensive, right. But yeah.
So maybe him over Highgarden. I don't know. Just musing on thoughts. Oh, well.
Well, if you unrestrict one, you're going to run both of them. Doesn't matter which one gets hit. If you unrestrict Hightower, Mace is my restricted.
Right, but in general, Shadows, Hightower would be easier for them to abuse rather than Mace. Yeah, so that's why I was saying, okay, maybe you do Mace. And then it's less likely to be used with Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially because Mace is very, like, military vulnerable, shall we say? As can, like, Shadows decks early.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, just trying to combine those probably still leaves it very, very military vulnerable. So, I mean, it's, like I said, one of those things that I think could still be a reasonable home for something combo-ish in Thrones. Anyway. Alright. Well, that's the update. That is the restricted list. Woo! Go us.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm happy. In a weird way, because I do think a lot of decks are going to change a little bit, which is always great. I think that's kind of like the purpose of a restricted list, is kind of change the meta, maybe get some more decks that were, you know, below tier two decks, and maybe get them, you know, up to that tier one area, and just kind of rearrange some of the faction order and strengths and things like that. So yeah, I'm happy. I don't think Greyjoy is as hurt as bad as people want or think they are. I think they're still fine. In general, as a faction a whole, it's probably hurt, but I still think they're gonna have like one or two very good decks. So, sorry guys, Greyjoy's still gonna be around.
I'm sure. Fingers crossed that we do see some of the kind of middle of the pack shake up and move a little upward.
But maybe with like all this like Stark. You know, being lowered down, maybe Shadows has more of a chance. I mean, I don't think Shadows has anything to worry about, like, from a plot or anything. I think they're just fine.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, nobody will.
That's a plot deck
bother
limit to one, right?
Duplicity.
Is it one per deck?
I don't think. Let me check. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think it is, actually, off the top of my head. Let's go to my other
really
tab here. Survey says it is limited. Yep, plot deck limit one. But it's a scheme, so those Reigns decks could just pow reveal this on demand. And Greyjoy Reigns was already making a little bit of a resurgence, so maybe that's the direction people turn now. And you've got exposed duplicity in your back pocket.
I do also think they had Great Hall
sure,
and Force March.
I mean, there's only so much room to go around. All right. Well, in that case, then, now that I am just sadly thinking about the reigns of Castamere, I think it's probably time to head to Props and Slops. Anybody have any good stuff at the moment?
I mean, I can, of course, prop you, Will, because you found the Centurions, the action figures.
You're welcome.
So.
You should probably just prop the Centurions, too.
Man, that was... Actually, might as well, and I might go buy a comic or two if I could find one that's not vintage.
Good luck!
We need someone that goes like Lee
surely
markets
we
and
can
stuff
find
like that
somewhere.
I'll give props to Bob for introducing me to tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills.
Ooh, a lot happens on these pre-shows.
Wow, all kinds of cool stuff. That anyway. Boy, I'm gonna throw out some props to an animated show, actually, come to think of it. At least it's props. I don't know. Season 2 of Disenchantment that I watched over the weekend. I find myself still watching the show, despite the fact that it's not nearly as funny as, say, Futurama. I guess props because I did sit down and binge the whole season over the weekend. But I'm not quite sure why I'm watching
it. I felt like it was bad, is it not?
It has its moments. It definitely has its moments. I'm still, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I am on it. So, there we go. That was an eh, I guess, in the end. Yeah.
Eh, to disenchant.
I give it a glowing eh endorsement. So, take that how you will.
Speaking on the TV front, throw props to Titans, the DC TV show. Season 2 has been significantly better than Season 1, and I can't wait for the rest of it to finish out. I'm pumped for the show.
Ooh, nice. Maybe one day I'll watch it.
I've always been a big Dick Grayson fan.
They're not calling him
very
Rick?
Prominently featured in this one. No, they're calling him Dick.
I mean, I was just curious because they've been trying to push real hard in the comics over the last, what, year or so to have his name changed to Rick, R-I-C.
I'm glad I haven't read the new Nightwing comics then.
Yeah.
That's
pain. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
That
it's,
pains me.
Some stuff like that, like, it's just set now, DC. Like, you can't go change that. It'd be like, at this point, trying to change Clark Kent to, like, Kevin Kent or something because it's a more modern-sounding name. Like, you just... The weight of everyone's expectations are against you. I'm sorry. Man, anybody got anything else? Am I the only other one with multiples?
No, I've got multiples.
I mean, that's all I have.
All Bob has. He's
I mean,
toys.
I can prop the fact that I can do this podcast from my basement again. The last few I had to do in the bedroom, which was, you know, awkwardish. So I'm laying in my bed talking about a Game of Thrones cards with some guys.
Whoa, you didn't. But you, my none basement of us got knew finished. That until you said it right now. Now you made it weird.
You made it awkward.
But now that my basement got refinished, because I had some water in it a few months ago, I finally have it all painted and carpeted up, and my man cave's back, so now I can do the podcast down here, which is better talking to you guys. Down here than in my bed.
Well,
do you still have a bed down there you speak into? Just out of nostalgia.
that's a weird thing to be nostalgic about.
Yes, talking to dudes in your bed?
Yeah, I mean, why would I be nostalgic about something I still do? Oh, man. Okay, awkwardly changing that topic. I'm also going to throw out there some props to the Sherlock video games. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, really, God, no.
Call of the series. What? Have you played any of them?
They're so bad.
I thought they were fun. I played Sherlock and the Devil's Daughter and Sherlock Crimes and Punishments over the last few weeks, so... those were cool.
They were.
Now I'm on to.
They were definitely
murdered,
like
full suspect. So
out of 10.
On a mystery. I thought they were fun. I mean, they're not particularly deep games from a like mechanical standpoint, I admit, but they were enjoyable stories with enough to do that I felt entertained, and they were also very easy to pick up and put down as I had like. You know, a random hour or two of free time, I'd be like, oh, okay, I can pick this up and play it. Or, like, Kristen was out of town over the weekend, so I was like, you know what, if I start this game right now, I could just finish the whole thing on Saturday. And, you know, that's a good feeling. I haven't done that with many video games lately, so.
Well, have you played L.A. Noire?
I have not. I was considering that as my next game in this kind of vein once I finish. I'm about a third of the way now through Soul Suspect. So I was thinking L.A. Noire next.
It's definitely pretty great, although it's got some awkward moments for sure. But it's one of my favorite Rockstar games.
Okay. I mean, they make good games. All right. Well, then, I guess the podcast this week then ends with a whimper rather than a bang. we've definitely won.
Hey, Bobby, we didn't fight once this whole podcast.
I'm really surprised.
Oh, I think it's because you was agreeing with me on things.
I mean, but like barely. You were wrong on most things. I just didn't want to like make you upset.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Zach's just going to be all over the comments section of the podcast.
Behind the scenes, Bob was saying a whole bunch of curse words.
Oh, I didn't expect that. I thought you would just be like, no, never mind, Bob's wrong.
Wait till you post it and then like post on Twitter. Hashtag white book scandal.
Oh, man. We haven't had a good scandal yet. We should really, really do that at some point. Remind me to pencil that in.
You're not legitimate until you've
early
had a scandal.
2020. Yeah, yeah. We'll get to work on that. I'm pretty sure we can arrange a sex scandal involving a certain a guest host whose name starts with a Z. I don't know.
Why do I have to do it? I thought it was going to be like you and like some manslaughter thing.
Well, that way it's a lot easier to disavow you afterward and like distance ourselves from what happened.
But it doesn't have the same weight to it if you just disavow, you know, a stand-in. If you disavow the guy who like founded it, like that's got some ground.
Well, I mean,
I don't think so. I think it's all about just getting the name of the white book out and then having clean hands afterwards.
Exactly. You kind of like want to appear to do the most while actually doing the least in these sort of situations. So guest host is really like the right level for this. Wow. Well, we definitely did a superb job of wandering into the danger zone. So let's close this chapter of the white book.
This is the second consecutive Kenny Loggins podcast I've been on. Hell yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm ending it.